Father, in the name of Jesus, even as we begin tonight, Lord, our hearts are receptive, our ears hear your word. Lord, we have the understanding we need to grasp the word tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. This word of God is healing. This word, Almighty God, is restoring. This word is also bringing deliverance. So, Lord, we are grateful for your goodness and your kindness tonight. Thank you for visiting us. And, Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to hear your word. We are grateful for those who are live streaming on YouTube. We are grateful to those of God who are catching us on the podcast. And we are grateful for everyone that's tuned in live on Zoom. Tonight is special. And Lord, we acknowledge your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, O God, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I know we had intercession. So pardon me, I was having a bit of network challenges. I want us to just pray for a minute or two. Now, we are beginning a new series. I'm happy to have you here, Endless Mwanga. Happier in the meeting, praise the Lord. So we are starting a new series. And what I want from all of you is attention. I want you to give me a good 1 hour of your time just listening to the word of God. Now, the series we're starting is very practical. It's you growing as a believer. And so as I was praying over the meeting tonight, I was sensing that the Lord is visiting us. Now, I'll be honest with you. One of the ways to limit the Lord is when you box him into you. God is only there when I go to a physical building, right? But really, God is there when believers gather. The Bible says, where two or more gather, he says, I am there in that midst. Praise the Lord. So whether we're gathering online or gathering in a house, as long as it's where believers are, ladies and gentlemen, that's where the presence of the Lord is. So tonight, I want you to be attentive. I want you to really get the message. Amen. So I want us to pray for a minute. In Daniel 9, verse 21 to 22, the Bible says, and I'm reading it from the NLT. So the Bible says, as I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, ironically, Gabriel Peary just joined the meeting. But here I'm talking about angel Gabriel, praise the Lord. So he says, as I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, verse 22 is our scripture, wonderful ideas. It says, he explained to me, Daniel. Rather, he explained to me and he said, Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. I want us to pray and ask God for insight and understanding as the word of God is being taught. It's very possible to gather in such a manner and go back the same, having not understood or received the word. So where you are, I want you to ask the Lord for insight and understanding of the word. In the name of Jesus, you can begin to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, we acknowledge you. Come on, I want you to pray where you are, in your houses, in your rooms, whether you are moving in a vehicle, wherever you are, I want you to ask the Lord for insight and understanding. That the Lord himself teaches you what the word is tonight. That you are not thinking about your problems, you're not thinking about your difficulties, but you are giving God your heart so that when the word is being taught, it's the word that you receive. In Jesus' name, begin to pray where you are. Lord, we ask for insight and understanding in Jesus' name. Father, we understand, oh Lord, that it's you that gives understanding to the scriptures. Lord, tonight we pray that you open our understanding to receive the word in the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing, oh God, is blocking us. Nothing is hindering us from receiving God's word. The Bible reminds us that man shall not live by bread alone. So tonight we receive your word in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Any kind of destruction, any kind of thing that wants to hinder us from receiving your word, tonight, oh God, we say, oh Lord, that we are receptive in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive insight. We receive understanding. We receive the wisdom that we need, Almighty God, for life. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So keep greeting people, wonderful ideas. So we're going to start the meeting so that y'all can just... I missed you guys, to be honest. I missed you guys. And before we start, I just want to give you a little plan, or our June plan for this month. Praise the Lord. So I usually plan for the whole year. And so in the month of June, we are looking at understanding or growing how to be a strong Christian. Amen. Okay, so tonight I'll be teaching on how to be an unmovable Christian. Next, I'm going to look at how to be a spiritual Christian. The third week, we're going to look at how to be a zealous Christian. And then we're also going to look at how to be a fruitful Christian. So this is what we'll be looking at on our Friday teachings, praise the Lord. But Saturday is different altogether. Allow me to just go to my Saturday plans. Okay, here we go. So tomorrow we'll be looking at goal setting. Now, because we've come to the second half of the year, I want us to go through the goals that we set. How many of us set goals at the beginning of the year? Some of us, maybe those goals have not yet come to fruition or fulfillment, right? So tomorrow's meeting, I want you to join because we'll be teaching you the importance of setting goals. And then for some of you, you may not need to set goals, but it'll be an encouragement so that maybe you may learn how to set goals so that you can achieve all the goals. Praise the Lord. So tomorrow's meeting is goal setting. The other week on the 14th of June, on Saturday, we'll be teaching the importance of attending church. So the importance of attending such meetings. So we'll be looking at the scriptures to encourage you why you ought to be in every meeting. Amen. Then the third Saturday, we're going to have a prayer meeting for men and women. So we're going to have a prayer meeting on the third Saturday of the month of June. And then on Sunday, usually I have teachings or meetings with leaders on Sundays. But I want to invite all of you. I'll be doing a capacity building and we'll be looking at reflection and pausing. Because we've come to the second half of the year, we want to reflect and pause. How have I been this year? How have I been achieving the goals I wanted to achieve? How have I been as a Christian so far, right? So we'll be looking at reflection and pausing. We're going to make the flyers available to everybody so that you can join in. So this meeting is for leaders, for those in departments, but we're going to ensure that we have every one of you join. Praise the Lord. And then the last Saturday of this month, we're going to have an IBS graduation. So there's some people here who will be graduating. I see Victoria Mudenda. Victoria will be graduating. I believe Michael Tembo should also be graduating by then, and a few others, right? So we're going to have an IBS graduation into the main group on the 28th of June. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me start my teaching. So those are the announcements or the teaching plans for this month. So kindly just take note of that. Okay, let's get started. So of course, before we begin, we're looking at how to be an unmovable Christian. So can everybody still hear me? I want to see you all participating in the chat. It will encourage me and it helps me to know that you can hear me. Because like I mentioned, I'm having a bit of network challenges, right? Okay, thank you. So let's be together. I want to see you all commenting, right? So we're looking at how to be an unmovable Christian. So this is the Strong Christian series. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is us, one of IBS. We look amazing as usual. That is us. Praise the Lord. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Robbie Makasa. I am a mechatronics engineer. I'm a graphic designer. I'm an author. I am a guitar instructor, and I am the president of Interactive Bible Study. And tonight, I am your teacher of God's word. Praise the Lord. So before we begin, what does it mean to be unmovable? Let me get a few comments in the chat. What does it mean to be unmovable? So I'm reading the comments just so that I see what you understand. Because we're looking at an unmovable Christian. So what do you think that means to be an unmovable Christian? It means not moving, right? But I want to get your understanding. Okay, Mr. Michael Timber says to be firm. Thank you so much. Anybody else? What does it mean to be an unmovable Christian? Let's get the chat rolling. I want to get to hear from y'all just so that I know that we are on the same page, right? And so that we can learn one or two things from everybody. So what does it mean to be an unmovable Christian? Anybody else apart from Mr. Michael Tembo? Anybody else commenting? Just so that... we know nobody else is commenting. Okay. Jackie, not moving. Jackie, what does that mean? What do you mean not moving? So even as you're defining, we want to understand what do you mean not moving? Okay, Victoria Mudenda says, standing by your beliefs and values no matter what. I love that, Victoria. That's why you're graduating. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I think these are the comments that we'll go with, right? So let's begin. Okay, let me read one more. Miss Caroline Namasiku says, one who is not shaken by anything, deep rooted in Christianity. You all know what the message is tonight. So why am I here anyway, right? Colossians 1, verse 23 in the New King James Version. I believe that everybody can see what's on that screen. Give me a yes. I think everybody can see. So Colossians 1:23, the Bible says, if indeed you continue, oh, this is perfect. If indeed you continue in the faith, look at that. So already you see in the scriptures that it's very possible to stop being a Christian, right? So even as I'm going in, I'll be reading your comments. So Miss Endless Manga, I'm so happy in the meeting, Endless. I've been waiting for you actually. So she says, standing on what you believe, no matter what obstacles you face. Beautiful. I love that. Right? So if indeed you continue in the faith, there is something called continuity in the faith. It's possible to move away from what you used to believe as a Christian because of life. Sometimes life can become so hard that even what you believe becomes shaken. I no longer believe in healing. I no longer believe in miracles. I no longer believe in salvation. Maybe we've come to believe that there's a certain number of people that ought to be in heaven. So heaven has become fully, like it's reached its maximum capacity. Praise the Lord. So it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, and then it says, grounded and steadfast. How many of you want to be a grounded believer? And ladies and gentlemen, we've come to a time where being grounded should be the most important thing to you. Look at where the world is now. It's very terrible, right? Terrible things are happening, weird things keep on happening. And for a Christian, this is a time to actually strengthen your convictions. So the Bible says, grounded and steadfast, and I'm not moved away. So I'm not moving away from what I believe. I'm not moving from my initial standing. It says, I'm not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. So what gospel have you heard? Wonderful IBS, wonderful believer. Praise the Lord. What gospel have you received? Is the gospel that you receive strong enough to keep you? It says, which was preached, pardon me, to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Many things in our lives can threaten us to move away from our faith. Yeah, and we're starting. It can be a boy. It can be a girl. I've seen people leave their faith because of a guy. I've seen people compromise because of a girl. I've seen people compromise because of work. Because I've graduated and I'm looking for a job, so church is no longer important. My faith is no longer important. But I'll tell you something. It's your faith that keeps you in every season of your life. Praise the Lord. Money is a tool. Money doesn't bring happiness, I promise you. You know, sometimes do some studies of rich people. How come? If money can solve all your problems, ladies and gentlemen, how come rich people still have problems? Have you ever thought about that? Right? And some of us are thinking, oh, no, let me just have that kind of, let me get to billionaire status so that I can come and testify. Rich people commit suicide. Rich people are depressed. Rich people are in all sorts of issues and problems that you may not know about. Now, am I here to speak against money? No, not at all. But I just want us to understand that there are certain things money can't do in your life. Fulfillment is in Christ alone. Money does not fulfill. Money is a tool that helps you to achieve what you want to achieve. Praise the Lord. For instance, in IBS, we have projects. And when you give us your money, which we don't mind receiving, we will spend your money. You know that song? We will spend the billions till we hear well done. We'll spend for Jesus. Yeah, we are not ashamed, right? We will spend your money because the gospel needs money. Praise the Lord. So money is a tool. But if we believe that money is going to make me happier, a new job will make me happier, a girlfriend, a boyfriend will make me happy, a spouse will make me happier, You first find satisfaction in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so here the Bible says that you need to continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Because many things, ladies and gentlemen, many things. You know, sometimes you never know how strong a Christian you are until maybe you are exposed to a different culture, a different belief system, different ideologies. The minute you start to move away from what you know, here in Zambia, for instance, being a Christian is not so hard, for lack of a better term, because already we have that foundation of the country being a Christian nation. But the minute you leave some of the countries where Christianity is friendly, you go to countries where they hate Christians. I'll give an example. I studied in the country called China. Now, in China, not everybody's friendly towards Christians. In some cities, you cannot and you're not allowed to be a Christian openly. So I remember when we used to have church meetings, we used to do it in a way that's so subtle. We want to have this big meeting, but then we are also aware that in the country we are in, laws are actually against Christianity. So we have to exercise wisdom. I remember a time when I was still on campus, right? And people started accusing us. No, these Christians make noise for us. They're always praying and it's loud. And then it's very funny. When people are having movie nights on campus, there's no problem. But when Christians decide to have a prayer meeting, all these Christians are disturbing us. So, and I was in the school council, by the way. This is why in your institutions, be a part of these bodies that govern the institution. You know why? Because if you are part of such bodies, you can control what actually happens in your institutions. You should be the president of your association, because how will the gospel move if you're not in those bodies? In your companies, you should have high position. Why? For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. Because what if your boss decides, no, you can't be a Christian here? That's why you all need to be bosses, CEOs. Why? So that you can influence the culture, you can influence your community, you can influence your society. But if you keep saying, oh no, I don't think I'm cut out to be a boss, I don't think I'm cut out to be a manager, they'll give you a manager who does not believe in Christianity. And then you're going to be shocked that you're the only person who's willing to stand up for your faith. That's why you have to be rich. Being rich for the right reason, so that when people try to threaten you, you know that no, I have the money. And in this world, the people who have the money are the ones who control the world. I hope you know that. Praise the Lord. So I was in the school council, and I remember I think I was the academic something. I was representing academics, and then we had a president, a vice president. Interestingly, in that school council, every person in the executive team was a Christian, from the president to the person who held the smallest position. So they called a meeting and they started saying, because they called the school council, we want to make sure the Christians stop praying. They had no idea that we were the Christians who were actually praying. And they were asking us for solution, but they had no idea. So wisdom, what we did was we told them to say, like, no, we are actually a club. And we're just meeting as a club. We share food like other clubs. We meet like other clubs. We are just a social community. We love meeting, and human beings are social, so you can't take that away from us. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how come we're able to preserve our fellowship in the institution, because people who were in the school council were able to make certain decisions. And when those people who are accusing us or saying we should stop what they were doing, they actually couldn't fight against us. Praise the Lord. So why am I sharing these things? Because for you, it may not be as simple as being on campus. It may be something bigger. Praise the Lord. For you, it may be, maybe you're in a country where you are fighting against these gay movements. And being a Christian is sort of difficult because, oh, if you don't believe in homosexuality, then they're gonna cancel your visa, or they're gonna do this, they're gonna say that. There is a place where you have to exercise a certain wisdom so that when the Lord blesses you, this is why you need to be blessed for the right reasons. So when I'm blessed, how does it affect the kingdom of God? Praise the Lord. when I'm blessed, how does it affect my community, my society, my country? We need presidents who are sold out for Jesus. But the problem is when we think of politics, oh, politics is a dirty game. Hello, Daniel. Daniel was basically a politician. Do you know that Daniel served four different kings? That's how excellent he was. The first king that Daniel served was Nebuchadnezzar. The second one was his son, Belshazzar. The third one was Darius, and the last one was Cyrus. Can you imagine? Same person is relevant in four different governments. And now, as believers, the only thing we can say is, oh, no, politics is a dirty game. No, it needs you to come and change the game. Praise the Lord, because those are the people that are making laws for your own country. If they decide that homosexuality should start reigning in your country, what are you going to do about it? Prayer is very important. And there's a part where we need to pray. But there's also a part where we just need certain people in these positions. Do you know that because of Daniel, there are certain people that couldn't be killed because he was there. There was a time when the king wanted somebody to interpret a dream. The Bible says nobody in the land could interpret this dream. And then Daniel is the one who interpreted that dream. So he saved himself, his friends, and all the other people in the land who were called to interpret. Can you imagine? I'll give another example. There is Queen Esther. The Bible says that Haman had sent out a letter to annihilate all the Jews. But then Mordecai tells Queen Esther to say, like, look, maybe this is a reason why God made you a queen, so that you can save the posterity of Israel. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding scriptures? And so the queen decides, let's fast for 3 days, and I'm going to go see the king. By the way, she broke protocol. You can't just decide I'm going to see the king. Even if you're the wife, you actually have to have an appointment. The king summons you. You do not go to the king like that to say, oh, I've appeared. No, the same way that even you in your own country, you can't just go see the president of your own country unless the president calls you. And even if he calls you, it's very possible you may be speaking to his representative. So you can't just get up and say, oh, I'm going to see the president. No. So the king needed to summon Esther. But Esther broke protocol and decided to appear. She asked the king for this favor. And can you imagine? The king had to cancel what he had written down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand how big that is. Once a king makes a decree, he's made the decree, it becomes the law. Do you understand? Meaning there's no going back on the word. That's why the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is authority. And do you know what? You've been made to be a king. Praise the Lord. So you can speak in your prayer room and say, in the name of Jesus, in the month of June, I will not be laid off. Maybe at your job, they're saying they're going to lay people off. Oh, not you, because you are a king. And where the word of a king is, there's authority. So you can begin to speak. Nobody's getting laid off. No believer. No, no, no. As long as I'm there, I'm maintaining my position. So you don't have to be afraid. Praise the Lord. So the king took back his word. And Israel was saved because one person was in that kind of position. Praise the Lord. So what are you going to do to continue in the faith, to be grounded, to be steadfast? Because many things in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, threaten to move us away from our faith. Are we understanding that the chat is quite quiet tonight? Amen. So what's the first thing that can move you as a Christian? Offense and affliction. That's number one. How many of you have been offended before? Maybe you're offended today. Somebody offended you today. How many of you are coming from fresh offense? I want to know those who are coming from fresh offense, like today somebody offended you. Just give us a yes in the chat, just so that we know. That somebody actually maybe offended you, right? So don't be moved by offense and affliction. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 in the NLT. The Bible says, oh, I'm seeing a hand. So Anthony was offended today. You see, offense, very normal. But look at what the Bible says. It says in 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 in the NLT, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Is it in the Bible? Can you see it on your screen? It says we are destined for such troubles. So sometimes, whenever people persecute us, and you see, the persecution that we go through as believers, it's so different from the other Christian, the early church. So sometimes I think Paul is looking at us and thinking, oh my goodness, this person wants to leave the church because somebody said that dress is not nice. And yet these guys were being flogged, being whipped, being threatened. That life was being threatened. But today people can want to leave the church because somebody made a comment on that dress. No, I don't like the flowers. Hello, is it your flower? It's my flower. Like, I like the flower. So who cares if you don't like it? But sometimes we just care too much about people's opinions. So it affects us so much. Now my day is ruined because somebody made a comment. On Facebook, we are arguing with people in the comment section, with strangers. You know, it's such a marvel sometimes. And this happens. Praise the Lord. And so people can offend you, even in your church. And unfortunately, we have many people who've experienced church hurt. And so they've decided, I'm going to give up on the church. Newsflash. If you decide, or if you want, you can move away from the church that you're at, go to another church. And then you find that at this church, it's the pastor who offends you, not even a member. No, like the head of the church is one who offends you. And then now, I can't be a Christian because, oh, this pastor said this. Oh, this pastor talked about fornication. And then you find that the sister is from a recent fornication. That's why they're getting offended. Let me tell you something about the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to grow as a Christian, allow the word to work in your life. Because you can't grow if every small thing, everything that said, oh, I'm leaving, it shows that we are childish. Have you noticed little children? They cry about everything. Babies cry about everything. They're hungry, they cry. Maybe they're upset. They start crying. Because they can't talk. So the only thing to do is to cry and mope and complain. And sometimes that can be us as believers, complaining about everything. You were complaining that you are unemployed, you get a job, you start complaining about your coworkers. No, the problem is they think they're better than me just because they have a master's degree. No, they're not better than you, but they are more qualified. So what should you do? Get more qualified. You solve your problems not to get offended because somebody has higher qualifications than you do. You see what I mean? But if we're complaining about every little thing, every small thing, oh no, she can't talk to me like that. No, he can't talk to me like that. So I'm leaving. We've had people leave IBS. Yeah. You know how I feel when somebody leaves and yet I'm laboring. This is me working. For you, you've come to hear the word of God. I'm actually working. I'm teaching. This is work. Because I have to prepare the teaching. I have to pray over it. Apart from that, I have to know every person that joins IBS. And so, because I want to know people at a personal level, so I want to know, what do you do, right? Are you a student? I know many people are writing exams. So if you're writing exams, send us your timetable so we can be praying over you. So I'm working to know my members, to know the people here. And yet imagine, after all this work, somebody can decide, I'm leaving. I don't want to be part of IBS. And then I'm there like, but why? Like, we're such nice people who love you. Praise the Lord. Why would you leave a place of love? How many of you feel loved in IBS? Right? If you don't, you can say, I don't. So that we work on ourselves and better ourselves for you. Praise the Lord. But if somebody wants to leave, it's fine. It happens. We've had people leave. But we've also had people who've decided they're going to stay here because this is where they believe God is helping them to grow. Amen. So don't be moved by offenses and afflictions. So offense is where somebody may just offend you. Sometimes it may happen unintentionally because we are humans, ladies and gentlemen. These things happen. And then there's also afflictions. Praise the Lord. So now afflictions is where you are actually in a situation. Maybe you've been a believer for so long, believing God for a job, but you don't have that job. You're believing God for a marriage. You want to get married, or you just want to have a boyfriend. That's all you want in life right now. I just want a man, my man, my man, my man. Or you just want a lady. Praise the Lord, because maybe the other one said no. And brothers, if a lady says no, it's fine. Just move on. People have preferences. It's okay. If you have to be sad, that's fine. But just go and ask out another one. It's not a sin, eh? Yeah, just find another person. Praise the Lord. For ladies, if you're also in that position, it's okay. Somebody else will come and find you. Praise the Lord. So you don't have to be afflicted by these things that happen in life. Amen. So don't be moved, because the Bible says that to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. Do you notice the word? The troubles you were going through. So what are you going through right now that is tempting to take you away from attending such a meeting? What are you going through right now that's affecting your church attendance? Because when people are going through the most, it's the church that suffers. Have you noticed? I lose my job, so it's on God. That guy dumps me, it's on God. So I can't go to where God is being represented because I'm angry with God. So I can't meet Christians. I can't meet other people of the faith because right now, God and I are not talking. Until we come to a place where we're talking, every representation of the kingdom of God, I hate. And sometimes it's a very small thing, but then it starts to grow. Before you know it, somebody has not been to church in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. And if you're in that place, I'm not here to shame you or to make you feel bad about what may have happened. No, I'm here to encourage you that those things should not make you get afflicted. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it shouldn't, because where there are humans, people of God, such things may happen. So you have to learn to toughen up. If you have to have certain conversation, have them. And then also know how to bring them up. Right? Yeah. So that you can maintain. This is what I was mentioning the other week, that sometimes we've learned how to move on so quickly, and we've never learned how to solve problems in a way that is peaceful. Because when people think of confrontations, they're thinking of gathering a group of people. Oh, we're going to beat them. And you know, in these shanty areas in Zambia or in some African places, you find a whole group of people. Hey, we're going to beat him, and people are moving fast. No, what he did? Have you ever seen somebody like a thief who's been caught? There's like a whole mob, and then people are just beating this thief for no reason. Like it doesn't affect them in any way. They just found a mob and they've decided, let me just slap him a bit, because somehow it feels like by slapping this guy, it's relieving me from the stress I have. Because there was a mob. Praise the Lord. So these things happen. Afflictions come. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. So whatever it is that you might be going through, don't take it out on the church. Don't take it out on God. Don't take it out on Christians. Praise the Lord, because we are all believing God for something. Right now, if I were to ask you what you want from God, I know there's something you're believing God for. But until then, you keep the faith. Praise the Lord. You keep the faith. I'm moving on and I'm encouraged until I come to the place where the Lord fulfills everything that He said about me. Christianity, it's not, I think sometimes the reason why we are disappointed is because people sell to you a Christianity that is, you know, fast, fast shortcuts, because we are in a generation that loves fast things. And so people don't appreciate process. So instead of you thinking about arriving at a certain destination, why don't you enjoy the journey? The journey can be enjoyed as much as where you're going. Because the minute you arrive, you're going to start something else. Okay? So fine. You are now married. What's next after you get married? Do you see what I mean? Because there's always something after this. Okay, maybe let me have children. Fine. After you have children, then what? So you're gonna see that there's always something. There's always something I need to do. There's another project. There's another goal. So why don't you just enjoy the process, the journey of getting there? Because There's always going to be something that you want to do. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding the meeting tonight? So don't be moved by offenses and affliction. If somebody has offended you this week, or you offended somebody, just go and apologize and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Right? We shouldn't be so proud that we can't even apologize. Like a whole good relationship has ended because somebody couldn't say sorry. No, that's not good as believers. Praise the Lord. We can be better people, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry that I did this to you. I didn't mean to. And then when you do that, work on it. Do you see what I mean? Yeah, work on it, because you can't keep cutting off people every year. Every year, no, I'm cutting off. And you know what? I'm seeing those posts every year, we're cutting off friendships. In the end, you cut yourself off because there's nobody to cut off. So now you're cutting yourself out of your own life. So now you can't talk to you. You're angry with you because everybody has been cut off from your life. It's now just you. Praise the Lord. You can't cut everybody out. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you need to learn to value relationships. You need to see. And sometimes we don't see the importance of relationships. The importance of your friends, your family, your pastor, that one person who's always teaching the word of God, like me, whether you like it or not, I'm important in your life by force because I'm teaching you the word of God. Praise the Lord. How many people teach you the word of God every Friday and Saturday? I'm important in your life. Amen. Let's move on. Number two, do not let bitterness move you away. Oh, this one is deep. We're going to take some time here. Do not let bitterness move you away from God. And, you know, this can happen in different kinds of situations, depending on what's happening in your life. Sometimes we can be angry with God because, Lord, I've been serving you, but I don't have a job. Lord, I've been serving you, but I don't have a child yet. Lord, I've been serving you, but I'm not married. Lord, I've been serving you, but I'm not promoted. And so we translate serving God to having promotion. And yet there is nothing like that in the scriptures. The Bible doesn't say, oh, when you serve the Lord, then the Lord will promote you and bless you. No, it's not supposed to be transactional, ladies and gentlemen. Serving the Lord should be because you love the Lord. That's the biggest thing. Not because he will reward you. Motive there is what matters. I'm serving the Lord because I love the Lord. I'm serving the Lord because what else should I do with my life, if not to serve the Lord? The Bible says we love the Lord because he first loved us. So he already took the initiative, and now we are just responding to his love. So why should I serve the Lord? Because there is something that I want. That's why we get disappointed as Christians. And then we get angry at God, because in your mind, you thought because you've been consistent in serving the Lord, by now you should be a millionaire. If that's the case, then I should be a billionaire if I'm going to look at things like that, because I've been serving the Lord for so long. 11 years consistently, every year, year in, year out, doing what I'm doing now. Yeah, so if we're going to look at it that way, then Robbie should be a billionaire. Am I a billionaire? No. It should be because you love the Lord. It should be because you know where God took you from. And the only response to that is to serve him. But if we're thinking of serving the Lord because, oh, he's going to reward me, he's going to give me this, then already we are getting the wrong motive. And that's why sometimes God doesn't bless us, because he sees that there's a transaction there. It's not supposed to be transactional. And many a time, these are the kinds of relationships we have, even with our loved ones. I'll call my brother only because I want money. He's my big brother. And so sometimes those of us who are younger siblings, we don't think about what it takes for this big brother to have money. But you can take time to just call him and say, how are you doing, big bro? How is work? How are things for you? But you know, sometimes when you're a younger brother or younger sibling, all you think about is when you see your brother is money. All we think about when we see our parents is money. And yet our parents also want to have that question asked. Mom and dad, how are you doing? How is work? How has it been for you this week? But because we are all transactional, so relationships are not working, because when you see that man, all you see is money. And look, money is very important. And for us gentlemen, it's been given to us to be providers. But a sister, you've just started dating, and then this man, you've made him to look like he's your husband. First date, no. So when are you going to get me the latest iPhone? What? Excuse me. Sister, I just knew you. What do you mean? Calm down. You see why relationships don't work? Because it's all transactional. Yeah, tonight I'm telling you what happens. Transactional. And then now you get shocked that this guy who you are asking for these big things on the first date asks you for your body. Then you're offended. How can he ask for my body? Even you, how can you ask for his money? It's a transaction. Do you see what I mean? So let's not have transactional relationships. So because that's why we get angry at God, because everything is a transaction. Lord, but I've been praying for the sick. Lord, but I've been doing this. So I'm not teaching gentlemen to be stingy. No, I'm just also teaching you to learn how to do certain things. Because if all you do when you pick up the phone is ask for money, ask for things, very transactional. You don't know how the person is doing. Oh, no, because it's month end. You've calculated the time they get paid as if the TXN reaches in your own phone. Like you're receiving on behalf of somebody else. No, guys, we can be better. Praise the Lord. I feel we can be better. So the Bible says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many people become defiled. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we may be bitter because your ex who hurt you has now found somebody else and is happily married. And you are angry that they're happily married. Oh, Christian. Today I'm telling you what happens in the lives of Christians. Yes. Let's talk about these things because I feel like sometimes we don't mention these things because, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And yet this person is bitter. This person is angry. This person has the wrong motive for serving the Lord. They're serving the Lord every Sunday, but then there's something there in their heart. Yeah, the heart needs some, it needs salvation. Do you see what I mean? Praise the Lord. I'm angry because this person did better than me, so I become bitter. Praise the Lord. So one of the ways of overcoming bitterness and revenge is to have faith in the promise, pardon me, that God settles accounts with our offenders. Sometimes it can be maybe, and it's true that somebody wronged you in a way that took away something special from you. Amen. And you are angry. Maybe you are defiled by men and there's a natural anger. But I'll tell you something. The minute you're angry and bitter, it's a poison. It poisons you. So do you know what happens? You become somebody who's angry with the whole gender when you should be angry with one person. And it's not easy. No, I'm not even going to lie. It's not easy. But if you need to take counsel, if you need to meet people for that, do it. Because if you're just going to say, I'm okay, and yet you're not, it'll keep eating away at your soul. And then I'll tell you what, you find that God gives you a good gentleman, but because there's bitterness there, you can't relate with the person because the man is a representation of what you hate. The man is a reminder that you've been defiled before. The man is a reminder that you've been cheated on before. The man is a reminder that he did you wrong. And so now men become the identity of everything that's wrong. The identity of everything that you feel is a disappointment. It's walking in the person of a man. That can also happen to men in view of women. That's why healing has to happen. Because if you don't, it poisons your heart. Praise the Lord. Luke 6 is 35. You guys are not commenting. It says, but love your neighbors, love your enemies rather, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Praise the Lord. Yeah, are we getting the message? And if really you are there, I want you to receive the word for you. Amen. Yeah, receive the word for you because I need you to heal so that you can become a better person. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So I have four more. So we're going to move a bit quicker because of time. Okay. Number three is do not be moved by a change in your circumstances. So the Bible says in Acts 2, verse 25, it says, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. So don't be moved by a change in circumstances. Sometimes You know, sometimes you come to a place where you haven't yet adjusted to a new life. You were a graduate, now you are a manager at a job. And in as much as that's beautiful and nice, but you haven't been given the time to actually process your new responsibilities. And so you find that maybe you're finding it hard to adjust because of this. Now you are a husband. Or maybe you are in a relationship and you're no longer in a relationship. And so now it's hard to move from being identified as an us to identifying as a you alone in the single world. It can be hard because for so long, your identity was ascribed to you being together, you being a couple. And now that the relationship has ended, it's so hard to adjust to a new life. What do I do with myself? Who am I? Because maybe your identity got eroded in that relationship. And so now you don't know who you are. And you know it happens, right? And I want to just give you advice. The minute your identity starts to get lost, meaning there's something about that relationship that's not helping you. You're not supposed to lose who you are because you met somebody. Rather, a person should improve you. The Bible says two are better than one. But now that I've met this person, I've become worse. I'm becoming more angry. I'm becoming more this. Then that person is actually not good for me because the Bible says two are better than one. So if I'm meeting another person, I should be a better version of myself because I interacted with you. So when people interact with you, they should feel better. When people talk to you, they should go back feeling that I met Lunda today. We had a conversation. There's a way I feel about myself because I talked to Lunda. I talked to Robert today. There's a way I feel about myself. I talked to Patricia. There's a way I feel about myself because I had one conversation. But if after people talk to us, then I wish I didn't talk to that person. They've just upset me, made me so angry, right? And it happens. You know, you talk to somebody and it just ruins your whole mood. Your whole day is ruined because of one phone call. Praise the Lord. So do not be moved by a change in a circumstance. And now you are a wife. So you don't know what to do. I'm now a wife. I don't know how to handle my responsibilities. I'm now working at this place. I'm now handling certain businesses. So the Bible, and I mentioned this a lot, in the story of the talent, you see that the Bible says God gave them according to their ability. Sometimes God is just trying to test how much you can handle at once. At the same time, you are running an organization. At the same time, you are also a wife. At the same time, you are a student. You are studying. At the same time, at your church, there are certain responsibilities you have. And so sometimes we don't know how to handle our multifacetedness. And so this thing cannot work out with another thing. So the minute I rise, something has to die. And many times it's the church. It's church attendance because I'm a CEO. I don't have time for church anymore. Because I'm a wife, I don't have time for church anymore. This is what happened in the book of Luke 14. The Bible says a man wanted to have a great supper. He invited many and they gave him excuses. One said, I married a wife. Another one, I have to do this. I have to do that. So the minute we can't handle so many things at once, we are telling God that we've not grown in our capacity to handle more than one. By the way, it's your responsibility to grow in that capacity. Yeah, praise the Lord, so that you can be excellent. Daniel, Daniel is an interesting guy. So Daniel, he's a governor, but the Bible says that he could pray three times a day as his custom. Oh my goodness. So Daniel is a politician. Daniel is a busy person, but he could find time to spend with the Lord three times in a day. So when people tell me I don't have time, you know, the time we have IBS meetings, I'm doing this. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, we bless the Lord. But I'll tell you something. Being a Christian, you have to be deliberate. Be deliberate about the time you spend in prayer. Be deliberate about studying your word because if you are not deliberate about your Christianity, you will lose what you even believe. Praise the Lord. You don't become a better Christian because years are passing by. No, you have to be intentional about it. Amen. Okay, number four. Do not be moved from the path of righteousness into shortcuts. Shortcuts are not good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so this is the fourth point. We have six tonight. The Bible says he restores my soul. He leads me. Look at that. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So the world is under the delusion that there are shortcuts to everything, even in Christianity. So that's why sometimes when things are not happening at the time we want them to happen, so we decide to do our own thing. And we see this from two people, Abraham and Sarah. God tells them, I'm going to give you your promised son. In Genesis 16, they're frustrated. So Sarai, that was her name before Sarah, convinces her husband. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that the person who can easily convince you is the opposite sex? Oh, I'm telling you. I promise you. You see, you are a powerful believer, and somehow a man can, with his words, can undress you. Or he said one or two things because he's sweet, he's charming, he knows how to use his words. And before you know it, a lady's undressed because one man was saying certain words. And yet, this sister is a Christian. Same thing. Oh, I'm telling you, same thing can happen. You find that a whole man who loves the Lord, a lady does certain things, and before you know it, activities have happened. Sarah convinced Abraham as if Abraham did not receive the word, but she convinced him to sleep with the mistress to say, look, let's have a child through her. And Abraham's like, oh yeah, let's do it. If you think that's what it is. And that's why I'm telling you that who you decide to be with, very important. It affects your destiny. It affects your life. Do you know that the Bible says that King Ahab, it says he was the most evil king. Why? Because Jezebel used to stir him up to do evil. Imagine having a wife who stirs the man to do evil. Oh, yeah. So, do you understand the message tonight? It says he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So don't let a gentleman come and undress you. And I'm telling you about things that happen with believers. Eh? So for me, you guys know me in IBS. We talk about real things. Praise the Lord. That's why you have to have principles, standards, so that when you start talking, do you know that every one of you that's attending this meeting, you all have sexual desire? And I don't understand, because sometimes you find that a person comes, I didn't know what happened before we knew it. We started sleeping together. Hello, what do you mean? You knew what happened. And by the way, I'll be teaching about sexuality very soon. I was gonna teach this month, but I wanna teach it at the end of the year for a good reason, because people will be going on holiday. And when people are on holiday, they forget Jesus for some reason. So I planned it to teach somewhere before December holidays, so that before you go for holidays, you remember a guy telling you that don't sleep, don't have sex, don't do this, what sexuality is, so that even as you're going for the holidays, you have the understanding. Praise the Lord. So don't do shortcuts. Praise the Lord. No shortcuts. So desire is very, it's a very natural thing. I'll tell you one thing. Key wisdom for all of us, eh? Because every one of you here has a sexual desire. Number one, you have to do is acknowledge it. Because how come when you see this girl, you feel butterflies? A whole man feeling butterflies in his tummy. A whole man saying, oh, because of a sister, it tells you something. Praise the Lord. Don't pretend. Praise the Lord. When you see a certain guy, there's a way you feel. So that feeling, what do you think that is? Oh, you have a sexual desire, please. Don't tell us, no, I speak in tongues. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody has a sexual desire. Praise the Lord. So do not take shortcuts. Allow the Lord to work on you, because look, the destiny that God has planned for you, you need to go through the process. Joseph cannot be become, he cannot become the second in charge until he is thrown in the pit, until he meets a woman who loves him, until he goes to jail. All of that is working on his character. And notice, the minute Joseph was going through all of that, at one point, he's just dreaming. By the time he's in jail, he's actually trained himself to know how to interpret dreams. So Joseph used that process and he gained in his giftedness. Praise the Lord. So the process is meant to make you a better believer, so that by the time the Lord lifts you up, there is nothing in you that's going to embarrass the kingdom of God. For some people, at the level where we are at, God can't give you a million, because if He gives you a million, you're leaving the church. Sharp, sharp. And so you need to grow in your capacity so that when the Lord entrusts you with millions, He knows that this one can handle a million. Praise the Lord. Yeah, some of us, we are single because we cannot handle being in a relationship at this moment, because we need to work on our attitudes. We need to work on our tempers. We need to work on certain things before we get into the relationship. The Bible says in Songs of Solomon 5 and 7, it says, "Do not awaken love until it is pleasing." So there's a time to actually start talking to people. And sometimes you may think, "Oh no, I'm 30, so I'm ready." No. Sometimes somebody can be 30 and very childish because they've never learned how to accommodate another human person. Because in their life, it's just about me, 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 and me. And then if you want to be in a relationship and it's all about you, already you have no idea what it means to be in a relationship. Do you know what it means to give up your thoughts and opinions for the sake of another person, just so that the relationship can actually work out well? It's not everything you have to say. "No, she offended me, so she should know what I'm thinking." No, wisdom. Wisdom tells you to say that it's not everything you have to say, especially when you're angry. Praise the Lord. So you guys are commenting now that I'm talking about sexuality. IBS. Praise the Lord. This is what I always say in IBS. Men love women. Women love men. So don't be that one who says, "No, me, I don't. It's not for me." No, boys like girls. Girls like boys. So the moment you realize that, they're better for you. Number five. The second last one. Do not be moved to do evil. Praise the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, even as we are in the meeting, I've seen a man of God, Sir Edward. I want you to greet him and say hi. Hi, Edward. It's so amazing to have you here in the meeting. Thank you so much for joining, sir. I'm happy that you've joined our meeting. IBS, say hi to Edward and make him feel shy. Praise the Lord. So anyway, do not be moved to do evil. Acts 21, verse 30 to 31. The Bible says, "And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together." It says they seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Verse 31, the Bible says, "Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in uproar." Praise the Lord. So do not be moved to do evil. Amen. Yeah, do not be moved to do evil. So sometimes you find that people are angry about something. "Oh, let me join on Facebook and start commenting. Men are like this. Men are like that. Women are like this. Women are from, is it Venus? Men are from Mars. I don't know what it is, but one of the two." And so you find that you are actually discussing things that are not helping in any way. So never be moved to do evil. And you know, sometimes it happens that way. Or somebody comes to tell you about another person. "Do you know what this girl did? Do you know what this guy did?" And then you start getting angry. Like, how can this person do this? Later on, you realize that they didn't do what they were accused of. And you were really angry about it. And then you realize that you've also said some things about that person. And now you feel bad because it turns out the person was only being accused. Praise the Lord. Imagine a whole city decided to seize one man. Amen. And the final one for tonight is, do not be moved to join murmurs and rebellious people. Very important. Amen. Philippians 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Sometimes we complain too much. This is what God didn't like about the Israelites. Pardon me. So one time, God moves them from